Good morning and welcome in to Open Air Saturday, broadcasting live downtown Jefferson City. More specifically, once again, Jim Dyke in the house at Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop at 116 East High Street. Drop by and say hi, have a cup of coffee or whatever scent Jim Dyke's got around here. Good morning, Jimmy Dyke. You got your cowboy hat. You're all ready to go. Where's your six gun?
I got my cowboy hat on because cowboy Richard Prosch is here to talk about his books, Western books, but I didn't want to be left out. This is my State Fair cowboy hat.
Your State Fair. Now, you can't do caricatures at the State Fair without your cowboy hat, can you?
I can.
Now, can you do them? Now, let me get the questions in here.
Yes.
Can you do them and talk to the person at the same time? Or persons? You do more. You can do a group caricature, can't you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sometimes many people, 10, 12. I've done caricatures with 40 people in them. That'd be a little rough at the State Fair, because people.
That's true.
I'm right by the Budweiser tent, so people are happy and fidgety.
Well, that may not be very good anymore.
Why?
Next to the Budweiser boy.
No, don't say things like that. I didn't say Bud Light. I said the whole big Budweiser.
Well, I think it has extended into the entire Budweiser family.
Don't worry about that. When the State Fair is here, the Bud tent will be full. Don't worry about it.
You sure?
Huh?
I might have to come up personally and see.
Well, you can.
I mean, I want to be on the cutting edge of society today, right? And
right.
What they're doing and they're not doing. So,
yeah.
Now, God knows, maybe you know, how many characters you've done in your life.
No idea.
No idea. That's a good answer. That's
no
a good
idea.
Answer. No estimate?
No. I mean, how do you know? I mean, I tried to keep track at first, but that's impossible. This would be my 30th year sitting here downtown for July 4th.
Now, that's a start.
My 30th year.
All right. Now, how many do you normally do in a year at downtown?
I don't know. This year I'm setting up right in front of my shop here, Cottonstone Gallery.
People want to know. It's Saturday morning on open air, and we're nosy people.
Yeah.
We want to know.
You want to know how many?
Yeah. 100,000?
I don't know. It usually takes 50, about 5 minutes a person unless, you know, somebody gets to talking. And,
yeah.
You know, then we don't know.
I'm trying to beef you up here a little
bit. Let's say, I have drawn many Saturdays starting at 8 a.m. and then go all the way through till midnight, 2 o'clock a.m. the next morning. The last few years at the State Fair, I could draw all night. If I wanted, I could probably draw all night long Saturday into Sunday morning, except I draw all day Sunday too. And at some point, you got to sleep.
That's true. Now, do you get tired? Does your hand get tired?
Sure. I'm sitting in a wooden chair with a pillow behind my back is all I have.
And you're not doing down, you're doing face, so your arm is up.
Yes, I have an easel that I made that is the drawing board, mm-hmm. basically with two legs, and I use PVC pipes. It's nice and light, and if a storm's coming, you can grab it and go real fast.
Smart man.
You have to think about that. Now, lightning and storms is a big problem at the fair.
Now, you're going to be doing caricatures Tuesday. I think that's 4 July, isn't it?
July.
That's military talk. Before July.
Right here.
Cottonstone Gallery.
Right in front of Cottonstone Gallery.
Now let me look at my notes here, and it says 116 East High Street.
Yes, right at the crosswalk.
Right
in
at
the
crosswalk.
100 block of East High.
I got it. And we got it. I mean, GPS is good, but somebody gets confused. I know people have a difficult time finding the corner of Jefferson and Dunklin.
Well, if you can find the Capitol building,
mm-hmm.
which is hard to miss, then you go one block east.
Now, when will you start?
I'll be here before anybody is downtown.
Okay.
I'm sure of it.
Because we got what? We got the car show early, and the parade's at 11 o'clock?
Yeah. I like the fact that the event is one day,
mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that the parade is in the morning, because that's
right.
the way it used to be. And a parade brings a nice built-in crowd. You have all the people in the parade, and then you have all the family that came to watch and the other people that came to watch. And typically the crowd would just stay the whole day. And then I would have to wait until about halfway through the fireworks and then just scram to get out. At that time, I was sitting over by the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave up my spot 1 year because they were going to cancel the 4th of July and have it on the 3rd of July. And I said, that is dumb. You can't do that. Everybody go to other towns and never come back to Jeff City. Start a new routine. That's a risk to do that. But anyway, so I said, why don't you use the space where I sat as part of the carnival,
mm-hmm.
and then go this way. The churches were having a beef over things going on. on a Sunday. It was a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, year. Well, I can understand that. I mean, you got some church services going on.
Yeah, we fixed it, so okay. It worked fine.
Okay. Well, you got something really big coming up, and that is an anniversary.
That's true.
And that's going to happen at 116 East High Street.
It's happening right now.
Right now. Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop. How old is it going to be?
41 years.
41 years
it
old.
It is 41 right now. Starting in...
And you're owner number...
I'm owner number four.
Number 41 years and 4 years.
And I've owned it longer than anyone.
Well, tell us a little bit about the history of it. I'm curious to know. I used to come in here when I was lobbying back in the day and bought some neat stuff. And you still got neat stuff. I wish you'd have been back then because you had a lot of things I would have liked to have bought for my office when I lobbied.
Well, you can still buy some.
But I don't have an office. My walls are already filled.
You have your penthouse, you and Sam
I know, but
Bushman.
Believe me, you've been up there.
Yeah,
it's already wall to wall. Although we got in the Jefferson City room, we have room for more historic Jefferson City pictures, which you have here.
Right. I'm still working on one thing for Sam.
You
that
are.
He was sort of half-hearted about and kind of said, get to it when you can. Well, I will. I'll get to it.
I want to tell you, and here's the truth. You really have some neat stuff, and you've got some neat photos and some pictures of the history of Jefferson City. And if people are interested in the history of Jefferson City, they need to come in and talk to you about that.
You know, at the gallery crawl Thursday, we had a guy and his family that came here from the Cayman Islands.
Ooh.
He just happened to be downtown Jefferson City. He grew up in Kansas City, but he had some family connection here. And they were visiting, and he came back the next day, brought his mother. They went to Boonville. But anyways, it was cool. They were very excited to see the history photos and the painting. People seemed to like the mix of the art and the history, which I do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the first owner was Carol Benning, a teacher for Jeff City High School. And I don't know what she taught. I think it was in the English department. But I didn't have her, but it seemed like that's the hallway she's hung out at. And it was 1982, April 26. It was Ronald Reagan had just won his landslide victory re-election. And the gallery began across from the governor's mansion in the corner building. It had been the Daily Capital News a long time ago. I have photos of that. It was in the downstairs part. And the walls were made out of limestone. You were there, I'm sure. Very nice looking. Facility and the walls made out of the limestone, which is the nickname is cotton rock sometimes for that. And then she told me there was also on one wall a little fuzzy little white mold that would kind of grow. And she just decided to call it Cottonstone.
Interesting. Yeah. What other owners did we have up until your time?
So she had it for 7 years. And then one day Virginia Bailey had been working with her. And she did some theater stuff in town too. And she went home to her husband, Jim Bailey, and she goes, hey, honey, I bought something today. She just told me that this week. We talked on the phone. And she's in Illinois and can't make it here. But
she could listen to us
on
the Internet.
I think she's listening. Hi, Virginia, if you're out there. She said she might be listening. We wanted to have a call-in thing, but can't do that on a remote show.
No, it's a tough time. Yeah, it is.
So she had it for 7 years, and I would come down from the newspaper during lunch hour, and I'd look through the prints. And at that time, it was here on High Street, I believe where Bar Whiskey is now, wherever the old Catholic store had been. Yeah. Anyways, then Carrie Turgeon owned it.
That's
seven years.
The former mayor of Jefferson City.
Yes, all three of these previous people owned it for 7 years. So that makes 21, and then I've owned it 20 years.
Boy, it doesn't seem like that.
Does not.
It does not seem like it's been 20 years. We're broadcasting live from Jim Dyke Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop, downtown Jefferson City, listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950 KWS and 104.5 on FM. We're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Every single day, you're making a first impression on thousands of people online, and you might not even realize it. Your website has real marketing power. It can showcase your products and services, promote special offers, and reach a much wider audience through search engines and social media. And if you're doing it right, your website will change and evolve with your growing business. Make sure the first impression you're making is a lasting one with Zimmer Communications. You know business. We grow business. ZimmerCommunications.com.
fear not. There's good news. Here's Pastor John King.
Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, you don't see Jesus flex his muscles very often. In fact, most of the time when we see him, we see grace, we see forgiveness, we see acceptance. You don't see him tout his power very often, but right here he said, "Hey, listen, as I'm about to share something very important to you, I want you to understand all authority has been given to me." That matters to us. He's not coming to make a suggestion. No, he's coming and he's saying, "Listen, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Everywhere that there's authority, it is mine."
For more information about our radio ministry, visit concordjc.org.
It's time for another Steve's Pest Control Pestimonial. Real bugs telling real stories about their experiences with Steve's Pest Control.
Oh, that is some good blood. Hello, I'm a mosquito, here to talk about Steve's Pest Control. Well, I guess I kind of get why people don't like having us around. We're like, super deadly. We can drink 3 times our own body weight in blood. Oof, sorry if you're eating right now. That is disgusting, but it's true. And I guess the number one reason people call Steve's Pest Control to have us eliminated is that we, ruin the summer. Which is like, you know, when humans want to get out and hang with each other and do fun stuff. But I bet you didn't know this. We mosquitoes are attracted to carbon dioxide, which gets shot out of your mouth while you're talking and laughing and having a good time in your backyard. So maybe, quit talking so much, huh? We won't come around. But if you really want us gone, you better call Steve and his team at Steve's Pest Control. Otherwise, your summer is gonna suck. Mine too.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The thought of the world shutting down once sounded like a folktale. But now that we've all actually experienced that, are you prepared to handle it if it were to happen all over again? To make sure your lines of communication are ready, no matter what happens, you need Minmo Telecom. They will alleviate any of the concerns you might have and make sure your business is set up to be able to operate, whether working from the office or at home.
Minmo Telecom and Security, installing peace of mind across Mid-Missouri.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
Thank you for joining us on Open Air Saturday. Hal Dooley not in studio today. We are downtown Jefferson City at Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop at 116 East High Street, right across from Encore, right at the crosswalk. We cannot miss it.
Across from Hallmark.
Carrie's Hallmark, just not Hallmark. Carrie's Hallmark. Right?
True. That is true.
That is true. Just like Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery.
I feel like I'm sitting on a cord.
You probably are.
Can I get shocked?
Yes, you can, but that's fine. We want you. I have a pal. He's got his cowboy hat on. Now, for the second time, I wrote this out several months ago, and the guy's name is Richard Prost. It doesn't make a difference. Prosh. Why it's Prosh, right? Yeah. And you're Richard. Well, Richard has been on before, and he's an Amazon best-selling author and award winner of Western books. He's got his cowboy hat. He's got his leather vest on today. I don't know where the horse is, but he's close. I know he is. His works have appeared in Wild West, Roundup, and Saddlebag Dispatcher magazine, and online at Boys Life. That's quite a resume, Richard. But I'm not done. He won the Spur Award from Western Writers of America for short fiction, and his Dan Spaulding crime novels, well, we're going to talk about that too, capture his love for classic vinyl and martial arts. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Hal.
Go ahead. It's great to have you back.
Well, thanks. There's a couple more awards that I can mention.
Right, and we're going to do that. You get more books too.
Yeah. We just got back from the Western Writers of America conference in Rapid City, South Dakota last weekend.
Rapid City.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful gathering of writers from all over the world, actually, and Western writers, contemporary Westerns, traditional Westerns, a lot of Native American Westerns happening. It was just a great, great gathering.
You know, it's such a rich history, cowboys.
It really is.
When I was growing up, as you know, you had a lot of books and television when it came on in the 50s and stuff, and you had the early Westerns, and I still watch Westerns on a cable television set. But we've sort of gotten away from that a little bit, haven't we? I mean, it's sort of an uphill battle today to continue the legacy of Western and Western stories, especially not the glamour stories, but just the tenor of life back in the day and Westerns. You capture a lot of that in your books.
Well, it's, you know, it's changing, it's evolving. People constantly say the Western is dead, and in some ways, the Western that we all think about, the traditional Western, the tropes of the gunfighter and the saloon and stuff, is kind of tired, and you know, some of that might be going by the wayside a bit. Certainly, the readership is older, but then the readership for everything is older. You know, young people don't read as much as they used to, and when we're talking about Western literature, though, there's all sorts of new things happening, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of things evolving. And the contemporary Western brought in several Spur Awards last week. A young man in South Dakota was honored for a Western graphic novel that was about World War II fighters and that had grown up in the West. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of things that apply to Western literature.
Now, I have found, Richard, that your books are an easy read, and they're not a novelistic type writing that you can probably read it in 2 or 3 days. And it's really interesting, it really is. And you've got a new book coming out, if I remember correctly.
I do. The last book that you read, Hal, is Pony Boys.
Yes.
Which is the story of Kid Wade and Doc Middleton in Nebraska. And that kind of, there's not really a cliffhanger, but there is opening for the next phase of that story. And it's a novelization of a nonfiction events, and the sequel is called Cast a Wide Loop, which will be available in August. And it kind of wraps up the story of Kid Wade, the true story.
And I've got a feeling that Jim Dyke will have that book available at Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop.
I have some available here.
You have some now, present
not
books.
Not that one, but other ones, yes.
What inspires you to do Western writing?
Well, I grew up in Nebraska, and my grandpa read the old paperbacks, the old Fawcett Gold Medal paperbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was exposed to that. I didn't read a whole lot of those when I was a kid. I read science fiction and other things. But as I got older and I got closer to him as he got older, I started to read those, and we would talk about them together. And then when I moved away, we lived in Laramie, which gave me a really intense dose of Western, mm-hmm. not just culture, but also the landscape and everything. And then we moved to South Carolina, and I realized there was kind of a culture shock there, and I realized, you know, the difference. And I missed the West, and I started to feel really in tune with where I grew up.
Do you feel that flavor here in Central Missouri? Did you ever say the Western flavor?
Yeah,
see,
I do.
I've always felt, and not to cut you off, I apologize, it, west of Jefferson City, Kansas City in that area, is more of a Western flavor than, say, St. Louis, which I think is more of an Eastern industrialized flavor. Do you feel that? We're starting to crossroads.
The gateway
civilization,
to the West,
the gateway to the West, and then everything west of that.
Yeah, I do actually. You know, like you say, Kansas City and St. Joseph have some really, really great Western roots. Just some great stories. You know, all the Pony Express and Jesse James and all that. But there's other stories too, and we hope to uncover some of those stories living here. And I think I do feel that here. You can just start driving west, and you're all automatically in the wide open spaces.
You know, I read a piece Bob Pretty writes on a regular basis. He's got a site that you go to, and I read he captured 150 years ago and what it was like. And we talk about the people and the actions and all that's in that. But he talked about what would you think differently about 150 years ago. And one of the things he alighted on, interesting, was smells.
Yeah,
you know, and we didn't have the bathing capabilities. We didn't have deodorant. We didn't have toothpaste and stuff like that. And he said the smells would have been distinctly different if 150 years ago we transported back to that. And that's interesting because, and I'm not just like lighting on that, but what you write about and the environment and a lifestyle that they live is harsh. It's harsh.
It
we
is.
Don't write too much about that.
It is harsh.
But disease and illness and all that kind of sanitation is something that you got to, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers knows, great. But they were in a very difficult environment, and the television would have been a lot different in those days if we really captured the real life.
Well, it would have, and you know, it was never raining necessarily on Gunsmoke or the Rifleman or something. You know, it was always dusty or something. And of course, some of those were set in, you know, the deserts of Arizona or whatever. But if it would rain, you know, the streets were dirt and everything was mud, and the animals were plodding through the mud, and the people were plodding through the mud. There was a lot of mud, and there were a lot of smells, otherwise smells too. You know, the cooking. If you and I went back to our childhood, I think we'd probably be amazed by the smells. I know, like the cigarette smells.
Yes.
That we don't have today because it's, you know, not allowed in certain places or restaurants or whatever. I think about when I was a kid, everybody smoked everywhere.
And I know.
I can't imagine what that would have been like. Yeah, and that's Jim.
This is the street we're on right now.
Yeah, and it's dirt.
Dirt, muddy days.
Yeah.
It's about Civil War time. And this is the building we're in right now. Cottonstone was here at that time.
And it looks like a harsher life.
I'm sure it was. It had to be. I mean, yeah. We didn't have internet, so most of these people wouldn't.
There you go.
They'd be lost.
What would they do?
They would be lost. They would really. I want to talk about your new book coming up. Now, what's the title of it, and where did you go with it?
The title is Cast a Wide Loop, and it's a sequel to Pony Boys, which Pony Boys actually just won last week, won the Spur Finalist Award. So I came in second to a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Wow.
So I didn't feel too bad.
No, I wouldn't feel bad at all.
You know, I couldn't fault them for that. So Pony Boys tells the story. It introduces Doc Middleton and Kid Wade, these famous Nebraska outlaws. And we kind of get Doc Middleton kind of gets his place in the limelight in the first book. In the second book, we're going to come back to Kid Wade's story and what happens to Kid Wade and what happens to our protagonist, who is a fictionalized character who is Kid Wade's friend, or maybe not such a close friend, as we explore the vigilantes of Nebraska and how they rounded up people in the days before there was law and order.
Isn't that interesting? Nobody will walk through the door this morning and round up people. Well, there's nobody looking for you, is there, Jim?
Can't be sure, but my friend Bill Mollendorf from Hartsburg.
Yeah, the mayor of Hartsburg.
Yes,
or he was, or is he still? Is he still? All right.
Forever. I think it's eternal. But he did a wood-burning sign that says, come back with a warrant. So I have that hanging above the register.
Okay, well, we know that. Richard Prost got a new book coming out, Cast a Wide Loop, which will be available August the 9th, hopefully, everything goes right. You're listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950, KWOS and 104.5. We're broadcasting live from Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop at 116 East High Street this morning. And we will have Carolyn McDowell on with us when we return after this quick timeout.
Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
Hey, what's up? I'm Brandon Rothen along with producer Hannah and Stephanie Bell talking about our traditions for 4th of July. Steph, what's your tradition?
I think everyone should read the Declaration of Independence. You know, Joe can't seem to get his documents right. More of us should know what's in there.
So that's what Stephanie's going to be doing. What are you doing? We'll be here with you Monday.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS. Our annual KWOS Central Missouri Honor Flight Radiothon with A1 Containers was another huge success.
$126,678.
Because of your generosity, local veterans are able to travel to Washington, D.C. on an honor flight. Thank you, Mid-Missouri, from A1 Containers, Steve's Pest Control, Extreme Body and Paint, Service Master of Columbia, and News Radio KWOS.
Jefferson City has many great places to eat, but only one place has the best deals you can find for lunch. Longhorn Steakhouse. Longhorn in Jefferson City is the king when it comes to lunch. Choose from great entrees like the crispy buttermilk chicken sandwich or half-pound steakhouse cheeseburger. Pair any of these favorites with your favorite side, soup, or salad. And a drink, all at one place and one place only. Longhorn Steakhouse in Jefferson City.
When you need a place where you can escape,
we all need to get our mind away from all this stuff.
Laugh.
Listening to you, we crack up every day.
Humor is a huge plus right now.
Let's go, Brandon.
Cry.
I'm more PO'd than depressed.
I was like, oh my God.
Or just vent.
Everybody has a right to have their opinion and voice their opinion.
Perfectly well said.
Make sure it's clear to everyone.
On News Radio.
Absolutely.
KWOS. Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
Hey, what's up? I'm Brandon Rothen along with producer Hannah and Stephanie Bell talking about our traditions for 4th of July. Steph, what's your tradition?
I think everyone should read the Declaration of Independence. You know, Joe can't seem to get his documents right. More of us should know what's in there.
So that's what Stephanie's going to be doing. What are you doing? We'll be here with you Monday.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City. It's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
Thanks for joining us on Open Air Saturday, broadcasting live from Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery and Frame Shop in downtown Jefferson City. Got a great show going for you today. Somebody I've had on before, and I won't have to say a lot because she'll have a lot to say. She's got her pen and pencil. Oh, now, Carolyn McDowell, you're an institution. You've been around a long time, and I've never known you not to have something to say. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic now. I've got you on the show.
You're a lucky man.
I am a lucky man. I am really a lucky man. Thank you for that compliment. I appreciate that. What are you up to today?
I was invited to be here, and I thought that maybe I'd take the opportunity to share some knowledge with you.
Well, share it with our audience. You know me, I'm hard-headed, so I don't know anything. So, Carolyn, microphone.
I know where the microphone is.
Okay. I know. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So what are we going to share with people today?
I was asked to talk about Jefferson City, I think.
That's what I know.
It's 4th of July.
We're fine. We're fine. What about Jefferson City? We've been here for a while, but it goes back a long time before that.
Well, we're coming up on the 4th of July, which has happened annually for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do in Jefferson City is very positive many times. Sometimes it's not as good as others. And I feel very honored to had part of the bringing the fireworks and things to Jefferson City on the riverfront.
You know, and that's great, because in the old days, because I've been around a while too, the Lions Club sort of sponsored it, and we had it out at Ernie Vivian Field, and I remember it was up on the hillside, and then it moved downtown. And I think one of the reasons that we're having it today is because of that move, you know, with all the cancellations because of the weather problems we've been having. But it's fairly safe when you're on a barge and you're out in the river. Now, we're going to see that Tuesday night. It wasn't easy to do, was it, Carolyn?
No, it wasn't. It was a time during the bicentennial, our 200th year for United States of America, the 1776 celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be on the city council at that time, and I'm very honored to have been on the city council for 10 years. But the thing is that it kind of came to Jefferson City through the federal government, because they asked for the cities throughout the United States to celebrate the 4th of July bicentennial. And when I was on the council, I was the young person, believe it or not, and the Mayor Christie was our mayor, and of course the national people sent letters to almost every city in the United States to become a bicentennial city. And I was sitting there, 10 council people, one young female, where they didn't know what to do with in the first place. And then mayor said, I have a letter here, and you be the person to take care of this. And I said, yes, I'll do that. So I became chairman of the bicentennial for Jefferson City, Missouri. And it was an honor. It was a great challenge, too. We had no money appropriated to do anything. Mm-hmm. We needed money, because let's go back a little bit. One of the people that was there sitting with us was Bob Pretty. Bob Pretty was the reporter for the city council at that time. So I asked Bob to help us, so mm-hmm. Bob became the treasurer. Well, we didn't have anybody. We really didn't need a treasurer, but Bob was the treasurer. We asked 18 people to be volunteers to work with us on that bicentennial, and it started in 1975. And that's when we decided that we were going to do a on-the-river fireworks, and mm-hmm. we did. Again, I'm going back. We had no money. We worked very hard for that to get it done. The fireworks were very pretty. We asked for a barge to be moved there in the middle of the river. One of the members was Jim Wish,
mm-hmm.
And he's still out here helping us in our community. One was Betty Jo DeLong. One was Sue Hunter, Ralph Fisher. They were all people that helped us, plus many others. So we had the Fourth of July celebration, and we wanted it to be a family affair. And we had the downtown area. We had turtle races, frog jumps, three-legged sack races.
Oh, man.
And we had fun like that, and our children could come in, and we didn't have to listen to loud music and see people drinking beer.
And well, that's the right way to go. And it should be a family affair.
Yes.
And it, go ahead.
And then we had the fireworks in the evening on the river, mm-hmm. on the north side of the Capitol, which is the front of the Capitol. And we had Sylvia Ferguson sing the national anthem. I don't know if you've ever heard her sing. She's absolutely beautiful person, beautiful voice, sings in our community yet. So those are just some of the things that we started out with. And we had asked other people to help us by financing us. City of Jefferson said, no, we're not going to do that. Today they give $10,000. I have not figured out what for, but $10,000. I don't know how they appropriated, what's the line items or anything like that. Asked the Chamber of Commerce, says, no, they weren't interested. So we started a little store, a retail store, which was on the 300 block of Madison Street. And Dave Bryan had a building there at the Wall Way in Madison. Yeah. And we set up a little store. It was hot, and we had memorabilia that came in. Being a merchant, I understood that. We sold lapel pins, flags, about anything, patches, magazines, anything it was. And that's how we made a lot of our money.
Hmm.
And Dave Bryant gave that free of charge for rent.
What's changed since those days to today?
Well, many things. Attitudes, first of all. And the second thing, that I'm not sure that people are as friendly as we used to be. Some people are just mean to each other. I'm sad about that. And I think social media is hurting us.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I share that thought. And I've thought many a time to having a show just talking about that. When you talk about the United States and what we've become. And I'm like you, people aren't as engaging to other people. When I grew up, you were still young in those days, everybody knew it. I was related to everybody. Everybody, you could walk down the street and say hi to people, and people would say hi today. Now they don't even make contact. So I don't know how we get back to that united fellowship. We're in this together. We're all Americans. It's going to take a lot of work, isn't it, Carol?
It has been taking a lot of work, but you know what? My mother always had a saying, if you see somebody that doesn't have a smile, give them one of yours. And
yes.
It's amazing how that changes people. When you speak to them, their eyes will light up sometimes. I do that in a grocery store. I've had a lot of new friends at the grocery store just, oh, is that kumquat look good? Or is that cherry look good? Or whatever it might be. It's a fun time. Be friendly to people. And if they're not friendly, I just go on.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
And then I go to the next aisle. I say, oh, we're still shopping. And they think, oh, yeah. So that's what we do.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I think you hit it on the nail. Because we've seen a lot. And I think our democracy, if a republic actually, is worth saving. And it's going to take a lot of work to get to where we are. I'm grateful, Carolyn, to be here in Central Missouri, be in Jefferson City. I think our community is a cohesive community. I think it's a good community. I think we got good people here compared to some of the areas in the United States. I don't understand it at all, but it's always good to see a lot of people in here in Jefferson City with regard to activities and stuff. I hope we have a good turnout Tuesday to come downtown. I know talking to Lyle Rosberg last night that we got an old car show. And we've got the parade at 11 o'clock. So there's a lot of good things that are going on, and the fireworks that night from the river barge.
The fireworks that we had in 1975 cost $2,500. And we had a beautiful show. The next year we had $2,500. It took us about 3 years to pay that off because, again, we didn't have the money. But one of the things that brought some of our money in to have different operations and different fun things to do was the American Freedom Train.
Oh, I remember that.
The American Freedom Train came in here in 1976, and it was here March 31st, 1st, and 2nd, 3rd of April. I will give credit to Bob Pretty bringing that in to Jefferson City. We were told that we would never close down Industrial Drive. That happened, very much so. Mm-hmm. And there was over 50,000 people here in this community. Not prior to our time or since that time, we've had that many people in this community at one time. interesting enough about it that the McDonald's on Missouri Boulevard had to close down because they ran out of food. Amazing. There were so many people. Service stations closed down. They didn't have gas. They ran out of gas. That's how many people were here. That helped us a little bit. Now, I will say something about Bob Pretty brought it in here, but Jim Wish helped get it out mm-hmm. of town because they could not start the train. And he was a person that had a, as a young person, he was in construction, still yes. is. But he was the one that brought his, whatever it was, generator over and started the train to get it out of town. So, and another thing about Jim Wish, when he was on the barge, was one with Ralph Fisher to mm-hmm. shoot off the fireworks. One of the fireworks went up his sleeve of his shirt, and there was, of course, there was no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get people to come and take him to the hospital. The highway patrol did that for him. So anybody sees Jim, we're so glad you're here with us.
Yeah, he's been a tremendous asset, as a lot of other people have been on a lot of the celebrations that we've had. So got a couple minutes left, Carolyn. Anything you want to discuss with regard to the 4th of July celebration and a bicentennial?
Well, let's remember, it's not going to be about 3 years. We're going to it's 250th year for our United States.
That's right.
And this is something that we need to start now with our community. We don't have to wait for the federal government to tell us to have a celebration, because we can do it. And I would also invite somebody that has been knowledge of the past and some that are kind of ignorant of the past, and young people to bring in, because I was younger
mm-hmm.
and other people. Jim Wish, 10 years younger than I, he's still out here. So am I.
Well, Jim Wish and Jim Dyke and Bob Pretty, I mean, we still got a lot of assets in this
I did
town.
Not realize that Jim Dyke was as old as I was.
Pretty close. But see, he works out day and night, and he dyes his hair and he does all that kind
news
of
to
stuff.
To me.
So.
Yeah, right.
News to me.
But it is a fun community. I've had a good life in this community, and I thank the people that let me be part of it.
And you're right down the street.
Yes,
you don't open up till 11 o'clock, and I'm going to push that a little bit. Meryl Norman, you're making people look good.
Well, we try.
You try.
We try our best. Job. I've been in business 57 years.
Isn't that something?
As of the 27th of this month.
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
But 11 o'clock down on Jefferson Street, stop by and say hi.
We're closed on Saturdays through June, July, and August.
There you go.
And then we close on Monday. It's kind of time to slow down a little bit. But the community's been good to me, and it's been a fun ride.
Well, we appreciate all that you've done and continue to do. Carolyn McDowell, you're listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950 KWS 104.5. We're broadcasting live from Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery and Frame Shop on High Street here in Jefferson City. We're going to take another quick break and come right back.
It's a monster in the marketing game, giving business owners the opportunity to reach their target audience and generate profits. But how do you unlock the full potential of advertising on Facebook? Join Fuse32's social media experts July 18th at 11 a.m. for an exciting, informative, free webinar. From Post to Profit, Understanding Facebook Advertising for Business Owners. We have a stellar track record and tons of knowledge to share with you. So take your marketing game to the next level and sign up for this free webinar today at Fuse32.com.
So your diesel breaks down. What's the first thing you do? Google it, right? Just to see if it might be something simple that you can fix on your own. I don't blame you. I do the same thing with a lot of things. If you Google it and it's not something simple, then call Capital Diesel or check us out at CapitalDiesel.com. We have over 120 years of experience and we are Better Business Bureau A-plus rated.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
Have you heard? Missouri One Call System is now Missouri 811. New name for the same mission of protecting essential underground facilities and excavators. Do your part by requesting a locate online at Missouri-811.org or by calling 811 three working days before digging. It's a simple process that saves lives and prevents service interruptions. It's simple, free, and it's the law. This ad is brought to you by Missouri 811.
Fear not. There's good news. Here's Pastor John King.
There's another place where he comes and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" When he said that, it's right in the context of incredible truth as he lays that out. He's talking about the good tree and the bad tree and what it produces. later on, he's talking about the two foundations, some who built on a rock and some who built on sandy soil. So when he's talking about this, he's saying, do what I say. I want us to understand that when we give our lives to Christ, he is expecting a change in us, that something is different, not just simply that we are to have the supplement of Jesus and put him in, but that he himself comes into our life and changes us.
For more information about our radio ministry, visit concordjc.org.
Michelle stays active and runs daily. She's a mom of two pups, and she's always on the go. But last year, she started having a tired, achy feeling in her legs. She was exhausted. She stopped her running routine because she couldn't keep up like she used to. Then she got treatment, and now she's back to her crazy lifestyle. Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Ryan with Missouri Vein Care. We've helped thousands of patients just like you, and vein treatments really help. Schedule your free vein screening at MissouriVeinCare.com and get back to normal.
KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
Thanks for joining us on Open Air Saturday. Hal Dooley not in studio today. We are broadcasting live from Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop in downtown Jefferson City. Jim Dyke hosting us this morning. We have the presiding commissioner of Cole County with us now, but we're not going to talk about Cole County. We're not going to talk about presiding commissioner. I'm going to talk to Sam Bushman, my buddy, about the USS Missouri, about employers in support of the Garden Reserve, which I got suckered into several years ago. But we have a lot going on with regard to ESGR and the submarine.
We do. Well, you know, right now our submarine, the USS Missouri, is deployed.
Good morning, Sam, by the way.
Yeah, she's out in Pearl Harbor. We were, you and I and at that time Lieutenant Governor Parson and some others, we were able to go out to Hawaii, and then the Navy took us out to sea, and the Missouri surfaced, and we played in the ocean and then rode it into Pearl Harbor, which was really, you know, a once in a lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
But she is on deployment now, and you know, they're stealthy. So these are interesting times in the Pacific. So,
they are.
Yeah.
Especially the Western Pacific. I know the USS Jefferson City, which I chair, is also a submarine Virginia class, is out there too. And we haven't communicated with it for about 3 or 4 months, mainly because they are out on close to China doing what they do, and that's surveil.
Yeah, and we've got two squadrons at Guam now, so that's yes. Kind of like the Pearl Harbor, I guess, of the 21st century. But, you know, they're closest to China, North Korea. So, again, they're stealthy. When they go out, we don't know what they do. They can't tell us what
right.
they do. So it's different times right now.
It's challenging times. We got a lot going on here. Let's talk about ESGR a little bit, because there's a lot going on there too with regard to veterans and
Employer support of the Garden Reserve. It's a Department of Defense program, and I'm chairman of Region 5 here, but then I'm also the Boss Lift chairman. So I'm working on with the Army Corps of Engineers for some cruises on the Missouri River. We'll take employers to learn about the military. So we'll take them down to Fort Leonard Wood, we'll take them to Whiteman, and we've taken them out to San Diego in the past and gone out on the USS Jeff City when she was at San Diego. But, you know, employers don't really know, you know, when you have an employee that is called up to active duty with the Guard or Reserve, that you know, they're out defending us now, because our you know, active duty, we're not large enough anymore. So you're no longer a weekend warrior. You're going to be deployed. You're going to go somewhere, and a lot of our employees are very, very good. They continue to make the difference up on salaries. They send them care packages. They work with the families that are still here. But you have a few employers who really don't understand that, you know, so they're like, well, no, I need that person here. So we try to represent the Guard or Reserve person who's deployed, and we do a lot of that. We've got a luncheon we're going to do on August 4th in the Capitol. But we will give awards to employers. We're going to do Hitachi. We're going to do Scholastic. Mm-hmm. And because they understand it. And so when their employees are gone, they still take good care of them.
I know we gave an award, last year, 2 years ago, to Central Bank?
Yes.
And they are one of the larger employers here in Central Missouri, and they are very good at supporting when they go on deployment, any of their Guard and Reserve employees on that. But they have a legal responsibility, employers do, with regard to what they need to do or have to do when somebody is deployed, with regard to continued employment, pay raises, offering. They don't offer it, they've got to bring them back at the same or a higher job level that they had when they left. And that's something that you and I do. I spend a lot of time going out and talking to employers with regard to their legal responsibilities, because surprisingly enough, as you know, a lot of people don't know.
No,
and even if they know, they don't want to do it. Like you said earlier on, I can't afford to lose them. Well, we can't afford not to have that person employed.
That person is doing a you know, value job, and anymore, you know, when they deploy, they're just like the regular soldier, the regular sailor. I mean, they know their job, and they do it very, very well. And, you know, from Desert Storm on, the Guard and the Reserve, you know, they've been on active duty after September 11th. You know, I remember when Matt Blunt was called up to active duty, because he was a Navy Reserve officer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when times like that, we need these people.
Yes,
the military needs these people. And we're lucky here. Our employers are really, really good. You know, they take very good care of our people who do deploy.
And government's not immune to it.
No.
The state, the county, and local, I know, especially our law enforcement people. I mean, the Cole County Sheriff's Department, from time to time, you have people that need to be deployed. I know the Highway Patrol has as many as 5, 8, 10 patrolmen that are deployed. And that, you just don't replace people like that.
No.
And I know the county has county employees that are deployed, and that's a hardship, but it's something you do have to do.
Well, our sheriff, you know, John Wheeler, was in the National Guard for, I think, close to 30 years. You look at Chief Wilde with the Jeff City Police Department, you know, he deployed many, many times. So, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, and they're off defending us. And so you can't thank them enough. And, you know, they're doing what needs to be done.
What about July 4th? What's the county going to do? Are you doing anything? I mean, I know you're really big on history and participating in things. You do a lot of joint ventures with the city now. You continue to do that. But are we doing anything particular? I know our buddy La Rosberg and the old car club is going to be downtown.
We're going to be in the parade. Now, with the one day
thing. Are you going to be in the parade?
Yes, I'm going to
be. Are you
going to
be on Lyle's fire?
No, I am going to be. The Republican club has a trolley, so we'll be in the trolley throwing candy. And but July 4th, 2026 is the 250th anniversary birthday of the United States.
Carolyn McDowell mentioned.
So that is going to be a big, big deal, because President Obama created a national committee before he left office. President Trump really got behind it too. And then COVID hit, so everything just kind of came to a screeching halt. The committee still exists, but it hasn't done anything. And so it's going to be kind of fall on the states, and it's going to fall on the counties and communities to do it. And we're going to do it big. We're creating
a committee. Sam, you're a doer. What do you got in your mind what we
should
be doing?
Well, Jim Dyke loves these banners across the streets. So he's in charge of putting patriotic banners across High Street. But I want flags everywhere. We were out in Loman Wednesday night. I want American flags in Loman, Russellville, Wardsville, along our roads. We're going to do art and essays with the schools,
mm-hmm.
not just the high schools, but all of our schools. I want to create something that will be a lasting monument to our 250th. So I'm not sure what that is, but we'll get some of the art clubs. I want the garden clubs to do something. I know Westphalia, when they had, I think their 150th, they had red geraniums everywhere. So I'm like, let's do some flowers, you know, and just really, you know, make Cole County beautiful. But, you know, we're gonna do many, many things. And, you know, working with the Sons of the American Revolution and the Daughters of the American Revolution. And we want to work with our veterans groups and things like that. But I want it to be big. I want it to be grand. You know, we won't be here for the 300th. Don't know if the United States will be here for the 300th. But
that's
anyway.
True.
But you know, the 250th, I think, this needs to be
a big.
Need to really celebrate.
Now, it sounds like you and Carolyn McDowell are going to chair this.
Carolyn's going to be on our central committee. We have a committee, and then we will have lots of subcommittees who will go out and do their thing. And then Jim's going to be just a standalone
committee. I'll volunteer Jim Duck.
And he's going to put up the big banners across. Do you want to build like an Arc de Triomphe again, like they did, you know, with the
World War II?
I think that was World War One.
Yes.
So you build that. We'll put you in charge of it, and we'll put it in front of your store that our parade can go underneath it. So
that's
you're going to be in charge of a lot of things.
You're welcome to sit in front of my store July 4th if you want to promote this or if you have something you want to sell.
Okay.
You busy on July 4th? You might want to just talk about this or whatever. Think about it.
Okay. Yeah. I will do that, sir.
I'll be here.
I heard. Yeah, this year it's not on High. The parade is on High Street, but all of the activities I think are
just
over
a half a block.
Capitol. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Possibly the fire department will have their trucks displayed. Possibly. We're working on that. Anyways.
Well, Jim Dyke, John Marsh says it's time to go. Almost 9 o'clock. Appreciate you letting us come out today and be at Cottonstone Gallery and Frame Shop, Jim Dyke's place. Sam Bushman, thank you for being on. He does more than just preside over the county. He does other things, too. But these two are two doers that we've got. Richard Prost, I appreciate everything that he does, Western Rider, and Carolyn McDowell being on today. Thank you for listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950, KWS 104.5 on the FM dial. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe out there.